Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, if you have a Bible, I don't know if you have, but I'll read it to you. It says there in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And here's the promise, and he shall direct your paths. I think it was Burns, our bard, who wrote the words to a mouse. And he said, but mousey, thou art blessed compared to me. For forward though I canny see, I guess in fear. And that's the situation for many, the unknown. Forward though I canna see, I guess in fear. We're living in an age where the economy's unsure. We're living in an anti-Christian age. We're faced with a new morality which confuses us. And even we have personal problems and decisions to make. All of us have different personalities, backgrounds, strengths, weaknesses, gifts, ministries, but we all have one thing in common. Every single person here this morning, we need direction. All of us need direction in these days, especially when things are uncertain. You see, direction, the direction we take determines whether we experience eternal life or whether we experience eternal death. And for the believers here this morning, direction determines the quality of life we have as a believer. How do you get direction from God? How many times have you pleaded with God? Show me how to do this, what I do here, what I do there. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if you got up in the morning and a wee note was on your refrigerator? Or a voice spoke to you, Steve, you will do this in the morning. It's not going to happen that way. You know that, and I know that. This idea of direction doesn't come automatically. And it's these two verses that tell us all about direction, gaining direction from God. These verses we read were the words of Solomon to his son. Solomon, as you know, was famed for his wisdom. And these constitute words of advice to his son. And you'll notice that the words have two aspects to them, a command and a promise. So we're going to look at this with a view in mind of how do we get direction from God. I doubt if there's a person in this room who won't at some time be pleading for God for direction. Well, look at the command. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now that's an imperative, that's not an option, it's a command. Trust is speaking of faith. The Bible tells us without it you cannot please God. You can do all the charitable works you want, but without faith you cannot please God. It's the very basis of salvation, of spiritual growth, of all blessings. And God operates only in one system. It's a faith system. And there are two types of faith. The saving faith, when you cried in the Lord Jesus to save you. But what we have in mind here is experimental or experiential faith, the kind of faith we live by from day to day, in all situations. So let's look at this. The first command, the first essential, is faith. And notice, faith, like love, needs an object. You can't go around saying, I have faith. The first thing somebody's going to say, faith in what? You can't say, I love. Love needs an object. And the object of that faith is the God of the Bible, the Creator, Sustainer, Redeemer God. You know, we live in a postmodern society which states quite clearly that all truths All lifestyles are equally valid. All gods, all religions are equally valid. God is the equal to a totem pole or some other type of God. Isaiah 46, 5, the living God himself said, "To whom will you liken me and make me an equal and compare me that we may be alike?" We have to have faith in the unique, self-existing God of the Bible. Some people, sadly, put their faith in spiritism, the stars and gurus, and gods of their own making. The appeal of Scripture in Isaiah is, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." And we look unto Jesus, God manifest in flesh. Now you may be saying, "Look, I believe in God." Here comes the hard part. The Bible doesn't say simply trust in God. The hard part is, he says, you do it with all your heart. Not now and again. Or if you're in trouble. We believe with all our heart. That's what I meant when I was telling the kids this morning. We treat them like a spare wheel. I remember that day vividly. Oh, the boot, kissing it, talking to it, loving it. We talk to God like that when we're in trouble. We cry to the living God when it's a crisis. And then we throw him back in the boot and forget all about him till the next crisis. For God, for many, God is just something necessary or useful in a crisis. In an emergency, a spare wheel we can take and hide and take and hide until the next one. Or, if I bring it down into the churches, God is just a God for the special occasion, the wedding, or a baptism, Christmas, a funeral, to be put away again and forgotten. Sadly, we put him away and then be gone, leaning on our own understanding. Put him away and hide him, forget him, don't consult him. We'll trust in our own understanding. Does that sound familiar? We'll draw him out when it's convenient and not think of him again until the next crisis. And sadly, within the churches, and I see this in round churches, God is the God of a Sunday, and we put him away the rest of the week and draw him out on Sunday again like a spare wheel. He's not a priority. And even worse, and I see this in all the churches I go to, God is just the God of a Sunday morning. They won't even come out on a Sunday evening or midweek. Someone once said, if you want to know what people think about their church, come to a Sunday morning service. If you want to know what they think about their pastor, come to a Sunday evening service. If you want to know what they truly think about God, come to the prayer night. Then you'll get the measure of a church. And some people would say, look, Dan, Sunday morning is enough. But is it good enough for God? That's what we've got to ask ourselves. Is it good enough for God? You know, in Exodus 25, it said, I, your God, am a jealous God. What does that mean? Does that mean God gets jealous? Of course not. I'll tell you what it means. It's a word which means to assert a right. God has a right over you. He's saying here, he is asserting an exclusive right over. God has an exclusive right over Stevie. He's got an exclusive right over every one of us here. That's what he's saying. I have the right over you. I have the right to demand all. Everything from you. God doesn't want even 90% of you. He wants all of you. Demands all. Leaning on him every moment of every day. You want direction. Oh, well, I want direction from God, but I'll treat him like a spare wheel. Useful in a crisis, but not a priority in my life. You know, what a lot of the trouble is, you've got an old history teacher here. In the American Civil War, a lot of people don't realize this. Halfway through it, Lincoln did meet with Confederate authorities on a ship off the coast of America. And they tried to resolve the situation. And they had this big, huge map up there. And the Confederate man got up. And he said this: you can have that bit, we'll have this state, you can have these states, and we'll have this state. And the story goes, Abraham Lincoln, who was a fairly big guy, a big fist, brought it down on the desk. And then he said these words. He said, this government which I represent, demands all. This God whom we worship, demands all. And an interesting point, another wee point here for the American Civil War. Jefferson Davis was the president of the Southern States. Can you guess where he lived after the Civil War? Glasgow. It's amazing, isn't it? He came to Glasgow and stayed in Glasgow. You see, the idea is we'll put God away like a spare wheel and we'll go on leaning on our own wisdom, our own understanding. But the word of the Lord says you trust him with all your heart. And it says, and lean not on your own understanding. Now, leaning not on your own understanding isn't a command. What they're saying here, if you trust God with all your heart, you will not lean on your own understanding. Now, God's not saying your intellect and power are useless. He's not saying never use your understanding. You wouldn't get through the day if you didn't use your own understanding. Your intellect, your mind is necessary. That is necessary in our daily lives. It's not a mindless faith we preach. Luke 10:27 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. But here's the point. My mind, your mind, my intellect, your intellect, my mind, my will, my family, my friends, the elders, and all these counselors, however helpful and good and sincere they're not enough. That's the point. Let me give you an example. Peter. Poor old Peter. He gets walloped in many a sermon. Can you remember when the Lord says he had to go to Jerusalem and be crucified? What did Peter say? No way. No way. No way. We'll stop that. Don't you worry. We will not allow this to happen. Poor Peter. He was leaning on his own wisdom and his own understanding. The very heart of salvation was the Lord Jesus Christ being crucified. He was trying to stop it. The key to getting direction in your life: don't treat God like a spare wheel. Jeremiah 29. The Lord said this: and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me now and again. No. When you search for me with all your heart. See, God is a God of all the heart. You will search for me with all your heart. God is never satisfied with a half-hearted response. Never. He wants it all. God demands all. And I tell you this from a sincere seeking heart: he cannot be hid. Two things amaze Christ. Do you notice that if you read the Bible? Only two things utterly stunned him. And that was the great faith and the lack of faith. It amazed him. Great faith and the lack of faith. You know, Hosea 10:12 says it's time to seek the Lord. trust with the whole heart. And notice the next commandment. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Now, what does that mean? I remember when I was a head teacher, they used to say to me, Mr. Cannon, would you say a wee prayer at the end of the meeting? It wasn't a religious meeting, a dinner or something. And all they wanted was a wee polite prayer with the name of Jesus at the end. But the Bible says, acknowledge him in all your ways. What does that mean, acknowledge? It means to teach him, to confess him, to reveal him, to manifest him in all your ways. That's what that means. When you acknowledge, not what I can come in here and see Steve and go, hiya Steve, he'll go, hiya Dan. That's not what's meant here, acknowledging one another. It means to reveal, to manifest Christ in me, in all my life. That's what he's crying for. He should be seen in us and through us. He should be seen, his love, his peace, his joy should be evidenced in us. That's what it means to acknowledge Christ in all thy ways, not just in church. We confess him, we reveal him, we evidence him, his love, his joy, etc., in the family life or work life or leisure life. And he wants to us to involve him, not just in the good times. Oh, thank you, Lord, for helping me win the lottery. That was a wee joke, by the way. Should have been doing a lottery. But in the bad times, in the hard times, usually it's just the hard things we call him on, but he wants us to involve him in every aspect of our life, in our blessings and in our failures. He wants us to reveal a total dependence on him, not leaning on your own understanding. And then you'll get direction. When you acknowledge him in all your ways, when you evidence him in all your ways, he will direct your paths. And here's the promise. He will direct your paths. You know what that means? Literally, it says, he will make smooth your paths. He will make smooth your paths. It doesn't say he maybe or he could. I will direct your paths, make things smooth. This doesn't come automatic. We all have problems in our lives, we all have hard times. But here's the promise: when we trust him with all our hearts, and when we acknowledge him, reveal him in all our ways, here's the guaranteed promise. He will direct your paths. He will make smooth. That doesn't mean to say we won't have problems. He will smooth them. You know, it's a terrible thing not to have direction. I was reading not that long ago about a Mexican jailbreak. There was about 60 of them. They dug and dug and dug for nearly a year. And this is true. I know you're not going to believe it. It's true. They dug and they dug and they thought they were going the right direction, digging and digging and digging. And then it was time to come up. They buried up the way. This is true. They actually buried up into the very courthouse where they were all convicted. It was as if it just had come through a hole in the church. Did anybody really need direction? These guys had no direction whatsoever. No direction whatsoever. Leaning on their own understanding. I remember as a young fella, I went in a trawler. Oh my goodness, you are going in a trawler. Don't do it. I went up to Iceland and signed on a trawler. Oh, it's hard. And I remember 18 days at sea, and I never washed once. It was fantastic. Didn't have to wash. And I remember sailing. We never stopped in a trawler. Kept sailing and sailing and sailing and sailing. I said, we must be near America by now. Are we up in the north? We're only miles from the Arctic Circle. And what a blow it was to me to find we were just going round in a big circle. I thought we were sailing right across the world. We were just going round in circles. And sometimes our lives are like that. Lacking direction, we just go round in circles. You know, God's desire is to direct his people, to smooth the paths. Nowhere in the Bible are we guaranteed a problem-free life. Nowhere. But God says, trust in me with all your heart. And then when you do that, you won't go on leaning on your own understanding. And acknowledge me in all your ways. Don't treat me like a spare wheel. In all your ways. And I will smooth your paths. 1 Samuel 2:30 is a verse you should learn off by heart that says, for them that honour me, I will honour. For them that honour me, how do we honour God? We trust in him with all our hearts. Don't treat him like a spare wheel. With all our hearts. And acknowledge him in all our ways. Let me read you the second part of that verse. For them that honour me, I will honour. But they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. I tell you. In a sense, we despise God when we treat him like a spare wheel to be used in a crisis and put away till the next one. Then he says, you will not need to lean on your own understanding. Direction, remember that hymn, and then I'll finish. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, and my all. Let me tell you this about this living God. He demands all. And you give him all. And here's the promise. He will make smooth your paths. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful word you have given to us this morning in this wonderful book. Lord, help us, grant us the grace to trust you, to lean on you with all our hearts in all situations. Help us never to treat you like a spare wheel. And Lord, may you be revealed, seen in every aspect of our lives. And Lord, we receive your promise that when we do that, you will make smooth our paths. And we give thanks for this in Jesus' name. Amen.